Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. This PGA Championship edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. Sports are back, and MyBookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week, only at DraftKings. Finally, we're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
Hi, this is Merrill Hodge, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer dog?
I don't know if you saw that, Sean, but I had to make sure my hat was on because we are about to go for a ride previewing the NFCs. Oh, wait, no, not yet, Sean.
Not yet. Football is not quite here.
You promised me this week we got to talk about football.
We do. We are our first division preview slash divisional win totals podcast. We'll be dropping later this week. We also have a special former NBA player. We'll be joining the podcast and some NBA picks. But today, tonight, we're recording this podcast talking about a golf major, the PGA Championship. I'm jacked. I did a little research. Most of my research is just reading our golf writer, which will be joining us in a second. But also a couple quick shout out. I did a little self-touting on the old Twitter at Gambling Podcast.
You're pretty good at that, Sean.
Pointing out that we have a top 100 currently in the Apple Podcast charts, football podcast. That is a Sports Gambling Podcast. We now have a top 100 basketball podcast, the newly dropped NBA Gambling Podcast. Just look for that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And then, of course, bringing up the rear, unclear if it's a sport or not, but the soccer gambling podcast, also top 100. So,
ka-ching. I see what you did there, framing the data. You don't want soccer to look that good.
I don't want soccer is again bringing up the rear. But again, check out those podcast feeds. They're all up and running. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever great podcasts are downloaded. Check all those out.
And if you're trying to get out of arrears on your bills or with your bills, you should listen to those podcasts and get paid.
Yes.
Did I make that word up?
Well, Ryan, it doesn't matter.
Do I get an 8 out of 10 for use?
It sounded pretty legit. Again,
I talk to computers most of my day.
Yeah. Words are just, you know, you figure it out from there. But of course, presenting sponsor, mybookie.ag, the 100% deposit bonus is back. Perfect time. We got golf going. We got NBA in the bubble, back to back to back games. you know, March Madness almost style going on in there.
It's too much, Sean. Too much.
100% deposit bonus, mybookie.ag. And of course, baseball. We got free baseball picks going up at the website. We got it all, including our own golfing expert joining us, the one, the only, Steve Shermer. Steve, it's our first golfing major of the year. Granted, it's happening in August, but I got to imagine you're pretty jacked up.
I am. I mean, it has been a long, crappy, socially distanced year, but you know what? We did it. We did it, guys. We made it to August, our first major. Let's talk some golf.
Isn't it great how every male is just broken at this point? Like, we're completely, I mean, I'm honestly like, I'm getting worried for what the fall is going to bring, because I already found myself like immediately realizing like, oh yeah, real basketball way better than video game betting. No offense to Sims.
Yes. And we are the Sim God. So we can say that with love, and it's a good replacement to fill in when stuff's not going great. But really, and we mentioned before we started rolling here with Steve, we were talking about the upcoming major schedule. I mean, my head's exploding when the fact that we're going to have a major going, two different majors, wait, or maybe even three, at the same time while we have football going. That just seems insane.
And the point I was going to make before you stomped all over my point, Sean, which is fine, you stomped on it well, I was that I think I'm learning that golf is one of my more favorite sports to do DFS and bet on, because I was touting how much the two game format in the NBA is such a perfect format for DFS. Golf's more fun. Golf is maybe second to football now in my eyes. So I'm finding out that golf plays a bigger role in my degenerate lifestyle than I originally thought. That's where I was getting.
And that's when
so I'm worried about the fall.
That's when you know you're getting old, when golf just starts climbing up the power rankings of how much you perfect to just put it on, have a little nap, have a couple drinks, nothing too crazy. No. You got to wake up Monday morning and get to work. But yeah, it's awesome that golf's back. It's awesome that we got a major going, and we're going to be giving out a DraftKings lineup, of course, DraftKings.com promo code SGP. That is slated. I'm staring at mine right now. But before we get to all of that, let's just talk a little bit of course action. They say, what is it? Horses win courses. Is that the phrase?
What they say, right?
What is it?
Horses for courses.
Horses for courses. And what horses? Are we thinking about the TPC Harding Park? Ooh. And I know I read your article where the course was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was setting up to almost be too easy. And then the PGA and some of the course officials kind of stepped in and tweaked some things to make it a little tougher. Walk us through the course and what's been happening.
Yeah. So on a normal day with TPC Harding Park, it really just looks like your typical municipal golf course. It's only 7,200 yards long from the back tees. It's pretty wide open there. You know, even though it's tree lined, there's a lot of room off the tee. Pretty generously wide fairways, small greens. You know, there isn't a whole lot of tricks that unaltered it can play. And I think the PGA of America noticed this as well. And they decided to make three big changes to the golf course. So number one, they narrowed all the fairways. All the fairways are about 40% less than what their usual width is. They're going to average about 25 yards wide on all the par fours and par fives. That's US Open narrow. So that's a pretty big change right there. The second thing they did is they shifted fairways to move them closer to bunkers. So that's going to be more of a nuisance off the tee for a lot of guys who maybe want to take it more of an aggressive play. They got to now compensate for an overhanging tree or, you know, a bunker. And they also shaved down the rough around the bunker to promote balls from funneling in. And then the last thing they did is they thickened the rough. And I say thicken, you know, they didn't grow it out. It's only about 3 to 4 inches, about ankle high deep, but it's thick. You know, if on the, they showed the practice rounds today on ESPN Plus, you can see that it's hardy, it's lush, and the message is very clear what they're trying to send. They want to restore driving accuracy. You know, I mean, for the first 7 weeks of the PGA Tour, we've seen guys bombing golf courses, bombing at 320, you know, just all these huge driving distances. And the PGA of America wants to try and curb that. Now, is that going to work? Generally speaking, and we've had examples of when They've tried to narrow golf courses and put penal rep before. We saw it last year in PGA Championship. You know, all week at Bethpage Black, they were just saying the fairways are really narrow. It is penal rough. You have to hit the fairway. Well, guess what ended up happening? Brooks Koepka won the damn thing by Friday, and Dustin Johnson beat everybody by four shots too. They were 1 and 2 in the field. Generally, what happens is when you narrow a golf course, you narrow the fairways. Yeah, a shorter, more accurate hitter is going to hit the fairway more often than a longer hitter, but they're still going to be playing out of the rough more often than they want to, except now they're going to be playing out of penal rough at a farther distance away from the green, and they just don't have the fast enough club speed to be able to hack it out of the rough there, as opposed to a longer hitter who maybe can hit, you know, a wedge or a nine iron and get underneath the golf ball and pop it out of there and at least get it in general proximity to the green. So, and also, you know, just being in San Francisco, the air is really dense. So even though it's 7,200 yards on the scorecard, it's going to play a lot longer than that to really put a lot of the shorter hitters a little bit behind the eight ball. Now, where it goes from there is all going to depend on how firm the greens get. You know, at that point, that takes a little bit of the advantage away from the bombers, because the whole goal of bomb and gouge is to hack out of the rough. And if the greens are really soft, they're going to be able to hold the greens and keep the ball on there. If the greens are firm, it's going to repel the balls. That means scrambling is a lot more important. And then hitting out of the fairway then becomes at a premium. Now, the firmness is really going to depend on the weather. If you were watching the practice rounds today, you saw that marine layer hovering over the golf course. That helps keep a lot of the moisture. Well, first of all, it adds moisture to the golf course. You know, you saw, you know, even though it wasn't raining, you saw the moisture accumulating on the camera lens. The rough was wet. You saw when, you know, guys were hitting their shots, water would pop up. That would help keep the golf course a little soft. We saw that a little bit with Pebble Beach last year. Their goal was try to get the golf course more firm. The marine layer kind of stifled, you know, the wind that would have dried it out. It kept a little more moisture on it. And we end up getting a leaderboard where longer hitters end up winning. But there is some wind in the forecast, especially on Thursday. And we'll talk about that a little later as you're setting your DFS lineup. That's going to help dry out the golf course. So overall, it's really going to come down to if the greens are firm, it's going to bring a lot more different types of golfers to the table that you could bet on to win. But if the wind doesn't come, and the golf course and the greens stay relatively soft or at least receptive, it's probably going to be another Bethpage Black this year. And it's really going to come down to maybe like 8 or 9 guys.
I like Steve introduced me.
If you took the under on penal rough under 10 minutes into the interview, won.
Introduce me to a new word, penal rough.
Love when he said it before. I love when Steve says penal rough.
Penal rough.
Firm greens and penal rough, Sean.
He's one of those guys who will get penetration.
Apologies, Steve. Steve is a true analyst and true professional. So basically what you're saying is the bomb and gouge strategy, that's going to work as long as it stays moist, it stays wet. The green, like you use the word receptive, which I like that as a golfing word. I seem to manage to put on a lot of greens that are not receptive. So they're willing to accept the ball and kind of stick there, where now if they're using the irons out of the rough, things are going to bounce off and then they're going to have to chip back on, et cetera, et cetera. So people look at this course and they think, oh, the fairways are skinny. It's going to favor the guys with the accuracy, but you're pointing out, listen, everyone is going to kind of end up in the rough because these things are so tight. Really what's going to benefit is the guys who are able to, you know, blast the 3 iron out of the light rough are going to be put in a much better position. Again, assuming the water holds, and it sounds like you're almost rooting for the wind because that opens up the field more, gives some of these long shot guys a bit of a chance. One of the fun things when we're talking golf is, of course, rivalries. When these guys, it's what appeals to me about NASCAR, and maybe that's why Steve is a NASCAR fan as well and big into the NASCAR, is these mano a mano, these feuds where there's truly
no one to hide behind, Sean.
No love lost between some of these guys. And we got one emerging here. Bryson DeChambeau, friend of the program. Again, we spent a good 10 minutes breaking down his quarantine video, which is just nonstop laughs. Google that if you want. It's still relevant today as it was when we first talked about it, versus versus just major stud, Brooks Koepka. What's going on between these guys, and who do you think ends up having a better PGA championship?
Well, I mean, it's been great seeing them go back and forth because, I mean, the PGA Tour in its nature loves they. Well, they don't love it. They want to avoid controversy at all costs. And a lot of fans have been screaming for them to pair Brooks and Bryson together just to see what would happen. But PGA Tour won't give the people what they want. But it's been great seeing them go back and forth in the media. Basically, going back to last year between, you know, Bryson accused Brooks of not having abs, and then Brooks responded by showing his four major trophies saying he's too short of a six pack. You had Brooks great trolling rebuttal. Bryson. Yeah. It was great. Brooks is very, very witty. You know, you think he's a giant meathead, but he's pretty sharp with the wit.
Quick sidebar while we're talking meathead, what is the PGA's official testing policy? Because we have the still in studio that we're using is a photo of Bryson DeChambeau is yoked out of his mind in this photo. And there's certainly,
and it's yoked in areas that you don't typically get yoked, like your neck muscles.
Certainly there's some before and after Bryson DeChambeau photos out there. And maybe it was all just his quarantine lifting thing, which again,
fucking Peloton, bro.
He released the video of his workout routine and him setting up the gym. And maybe it's just all that and amazing nutrition, but what is their testing policy? Like, I feel like I never hear stories of golfers testing positive. Certainly it doesn't seem like they're dabbling that much, but I'm sure some of these guys, I mean, Tiger Woods had a run where he looked super possibly on something. What is the testing policy, Steve?
Well, with Tiger, I mean, if you think back, I think 10 years ago, who is that doctor's name? Anthony Galea. Wasn't he like A-Rod's doctor?
Yeah.
So Tiger used to use that guy too. And I think the guy got one of his associates got busted at Niagara Falls with a bunch of steroids at the border. So there's always been some hints about with Tiger if he used steroids. So allegedly the PGA Tour does do performance enhancing drug testing. And just drug testing in general. Now they've mostly just outed guys for using marijuana. You don't usually hear anything about guys using HGH. I think Rory ended up saying in an interview that if he really wanted to use HGH, he probably could get away with it just because they're a little lax on it. And the PGA Tour kind of wants to protect their top stars. So, but yeah, I mean, Brooks basically accused Bryson a few weeks ago of using steroids and, I think Bryson, and actually today they did a feature of Bryson and his crazy workouts. And they actually made a point that his trainer said that he doesn't use steroids. And then they tried to blame him on the fact he eats 5,000 calories a day, eats four eggs, like 15 milkshakes, a steak for lunch. So I mean,
sounds like my diet.
So you know what I've learned? You know what you don't do to people who take steroids? Accuse them of taking steroids. They get very sensitive about it.
It's interesting. I wonder if we had a list of like all the guys who've been accused of taking steroids, whether or not they were taking steroids. I feel like there's
98%.
There's a pretty big correlation, but really if gun to your head, if you had to pick one, and my bookie is .ag, they're pretty good about doing a lot of these fun head to head and three ball stuff. As it gets closer, if you had a head-to-head matchup between these two, which way are you leaning this weekend?
Well, I think it's no question, and these two guys are going in completely opposite directions, and it's bizarre because up until 3 weeks ago, it was reversed as far as who you really want to bet. I mean, I'm firmly backing Brooks on this one, and I don't think we appreciate enough how not necessarily easily, but just how often he's able to flip a switch ahead of a major and just find random form. I mean, if you've been a fan of Brooks all year, it's been pretty bleak, you know, going back before, you know, COVID shut everything down. There was not a lot to hang your hat on with him. You know, the ball striking was bad. He was missing cuts. The knee was balky. He just didn't seem right. And even after the PGA Tour return, he had a couple good finishes to start, but he was pretty much faking it. It was almost all with his putting. And then all of a sudden at the 3M Open a couple of weeks ago, even though he missed the cut, he had his best ball striking week of the year. And then last week he did even better. I think he gained something like 10 strokes tee to green per round and he's back now. I mean, the putter is a little iffy right now, But he did the same thing last year before the PGA Championship. He played a couple events before the PGA then. Ball striking was really good. The putter was a little shaky, but you know Brooks is on when he starts dialing in his irons, and those are just on point right now. And then as for Bryson, you know, if in full transparency, I have some money on him, but I got in really early on him. If you guys remember that big 5,000 word column where I basically blacked out and all of a sudden I had a giant column on my hands.
Your opus.
Yes, my opus. Well, if you got through all of my ramblings, I listed a bunch of guys who I thought their futures were off. And one of those guys was Bryson for the PGA Championship. Now back then he was 35-1 and I got in on that price. And after he won in Detroit, I was feeling great. I mean, the gains he has made off the tee were definitely gaining dividends, and he was gaining a ton of strokes with his approach shots too, and putting lights out. I mean, that's breaking golf right there. You're going to win at every golf course. But even with that win, there started to be some little telltale signs of some trouble, and then they've really reared its head the last two tournaments. His iron play has completely crapped the bed. So over his last two tournaments, he's still doing pretty well off the tee. He's gained 7 strokes off the tee, but he's lost 16 shots to the field with his irons and with his scrambling, which already wasn't very good to begin with. Now he's saving himself with his putting. He's gaining about 1.6 strokes per round over his last 4 tournaments, but that's completely unsustainable. And when you're Bryson and you want to basically hit it no matter where it goes, you just want to make sure you have a short distance into the green. You're going to have a wedge in hand on a par 4. You have to hit it within 20 feet to at least give yourself a good look at birdie. And he's not doing that right now. He's dumping it in a bunker. He's hitting it long. He's hitting it 40 feet away from the pin. Or if you're on a par 5 and you have a 7 iron in hand, you got to at least hit the green. And he's not hitting it there. And when your irons are bad, when he's taking the strategy he's doing, all that gains you've made with distance off the tee is completely gone to waste. And really what you've turned into is Bubba Watson. You know, it's a guy who gains a lot off the tee. He's an average iron player and he has to get by with his putting. And, you know, I mean, Bubba Watson, great career. You know, he's won 2 Masters, but do you really want to bet on a guy who's 15-1, who's that boom or bust? So,
no.
Yeah, I mean, in a head to head, I like Brooks. And if you're someone who's maybe like you're all in on Bryson and you're a little upset you didn't get in a good price on him, I don't know if you're really going to miss it. I mean, I know that I said that bombers might have a good advantage here, but if he's not hitting the greens out of the rough like he hasn't been, there's not a whole lot he can really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm team Brooks all the way there.
I was going to say, I mean, that was a great answer. My answer would have been fuck yeah. I mean, the guy shows up to the prom every time. He's never he doesn't let us down.
Big game often. Brooks.
Meanwhile, we have the classic Bosworth situation here.
Yeah. Just new guy onto the scene. Questionable.
Unknown to first round talent based off a lift in 225 a couple times. Come on.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Brooks is my bookie has him right now to win it all 10-1. Mm. So that's always a little steep when you get to almost single digits, but certainly a favorite for a reason. We're talking major. We have to crowbar a little Tiger talk. What can we expect from Tiger Woods going into this PGA Championship? He's in a bettable price point, at least for me, to win it all at 33-1. Are you doing any long shot action on Tiger this week?
You know, typically I come on here and my general stance with Tiger is just avoid him. I mean, usually the books make him overpriced. There's usually something to hang your hat on with him that doesn't make you want to completely fade Tiger, but I'm not there this week. I have some big concerns with where he's at right now. I mean, you can't really judge his performance, you know, golfing on the golf course, because he just hasn't done a whole lot. I think he only has 11 rounds, measured strokes gain rounds this year. So it's a very small sample size. But we've seen with him when, you know, he doesn't play a whole lot entering a major, he's a little rusty. And when he goes to places where the temperature's cold, it's damp, it's windy.
Yeah.
You know, he's the type of guy right now, he has to get up at 2 a.m. to start prepping his body in order to play the full round, you know, that day. And he's teeing off right early Thursday morning. The weather is going to be 55 degrees. It's going to be cold. It's damp. I'm getting some Royal Port Rush vibes from him. You know, if you guys remember last year, the Open Championship, for the first tee shot, he hooked it right into the left rough, and he just made a he winced right on camera, and you knew it was going to be a long round. And I think he shot like a 76 that day, and he got bounced from the tournament immediately. So usually what you do then, if you're on Fade Tiger, is the books will, you know, overprice him. But that's actually not happening, like you mentioned. I mean, he's 33-1 to win the tournament. And on all his matchup props, he actually is at plus odds, and he's a pretty significant underdog too. And I think what's happening is the books realize that the sharp money sees all these bad circumstances that I just described, and they're going to want to fade Tiger, and they're going to want these guys to play a premium on it. Where on the flip side, they're going to get Joe Q public money seeing, hey, I can get Tiger Woods at plus odds against Colin Morikawa. I'll take that. I mean, it's for some of these matchup props, I'm definitely looking to fade him, and that minus like 160, minus 170 number is a little daunting. It's a little scary looking in the face, but I'm not really scared of it. I'm not expecting a whole lot from him. Even if he does make the cut, I don't think he's going to crack the top 40. And there's a lot of guys he's paired with, like Webb Simpson, you know, and a Patrick Cantlay that I have pretty high hopes for, that I think is just going to, you know, beat him easily.
Oh, yeah. I'm already starting to love my DraftKings lineup based on some words Steve has said there. I will go ahead, Sean. I'm getting excited.
Oh, I mean, so am I. I'm never really that frequent a Tiger backer because of the price point, and it was just interesting to me.
His price is very low this week.
It's low this week, and that's why I wanted to get Steve's take on it before we get going to the our DraftKings DFS lineup. Couple other guys. I'm just curious about your take before we get him. This guy, of course, not on my DraftKings lineup because he is
feels a little bit like we're going through your DraftKings lineup.
He is not on my lineup, Ryan, as I clarified there, because he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. Oh, and Jesus. It seems like he's kind of fallen off. Jordan Spieth, there was a time when it was like, next man up, Jordan Spieth. Look out, Tiger. Here comes Jordan Spieth. And you look at his, his props to win it all at my bookie, he's like plus 5,000, 50-1 in DraftKings. I almost took him because he was only $7,700. What has happened to Jordan Spieth? I feel like he's had a pretty big fall from grace.
Well, I mean, this is now a 2-year problem. I remember talking about him before. I think when I first came on the podcast with you guys in the 18 Masters, at that point, the ball striking was really good, but the putter was a disaster. He was missing 2-footers, 3-footers. He looked like he had the yips. And I've come on this podcast since then, and we've talked about a lot of his problems now with his swing, and a lot of it seems to be mental. You know, I always recall back to a podcast he did with the guys from the No Laying Up, and he was talking about trying to get back to different swing feels based on when he was great. You know, he talks about how he felt swinging the club in 2014, you know, when he finished running up to Bubba Watson at the Masters there. He talks about when he had that huge breakout year in 15, you know, how he swing the club. And then he talks about the swing feel in 17, and he's always looking back instead of looking forward and trying to fix the problem. And I think personally think he needs to make some sort of change, whether it's a caddy change or a swing coach change. But if you look at his recent performance, it's you're starting to see some signs of encouragement, and you're starting to see with his irons, which used to be really the bread and butter of his game and really fell off for a little bit. But over his last two tournaments, he's gained over 7 strokes with his irons. And, you know, the putting and the scrambling, you know, which is usually great, has been pretty good. The problem with Jordan, though, is he still has that huge, big right miss, like where he just blocks it 40, 50 yards offline. And, you know, sometimes he was able to get away with it at other tournaments when there were fans because the rough would be trampled down. But what he's kind of finding this year is there's no, you know, basically he's hitting it in the deepest rough on the golf course. And, you know, I mean, I think he's going to need to really tighten up his performance off the tee, because he doesn't have that clubhead speed in order to get out of the rough like a lot of guys do. But there are some signs, you know, of improvement in his play that at least gives a little hope that maybe he can, you know, find some form.
Kramer, any other guys you want to get to before we start breaking it down and go DFS?
I feel like we can have the conversation later, but I mean, everyone keeps talking about how this is, or maybe this is just me talking about it, 'cause I don't actually talk to too many people, but this is Ricky Fowler's time, right?
Ooh. What do you say to that, Steve?
Oh man. Oh, Kramer. Did you watch last week?
Yeah, no, I know. I just every time. So here's what happens. I start making my DraftKings lineup, and I scroll down, and I'm like, "Oh, Ricky Fowler's underpriced." And then I look into it, and I'm like, "Well, he's not really underpriced, but goddamn, I like rooting for Ricky Fowler." Then I start buying into like all this shit that he's doing to his swing, and next thing you know, I'm like, "Well, this is Ricky Fowler's time." And then I ask you, the golf expert, as if other people have said this, to see if you'll agree with me. And you predictably shamed me for suggesting that Ricky Fowler's back.
All right. Let me at least try and make you feel a little better.
Okay.
Last week was encouraging. He did have some pretty good ball striking rounds, at least the first two rounds. It's just that, like, what do you expect out of him at this point? I mean,
he looks cool in his outfit. That's all that. Yeah. That's all that Kramer wants. The
he looks cool squad. He looks cool in the mustache too.
I'm gonna have to. I'll have to reach out to my bookie, see if they do refunds on bets. See if I cancel that guy.
I mean, what's his price this week? I think like 40-1, 45-1.
It's enough to make me interested every time.
I mean, he's going through some swing changes. There's been some. At least some signs that he can at least, you know, put together for a few rounds. I don't know what's really to get excited for them. I think he kind of just is what he is at this point. And I mean, listen, if I'm wrong, I'll eat crow and, you know, but I just, he's just not on my radar.
That's is what it is. I feel like again,
sad day for the drip squad.
RIP. Is what it is. That is definitely my analysis of my golf game. We're going to be giving out a DraftKings lineup here in a second, but time to talk about DraftKings. NBA was back. I know we gave out some $1 million lineups. I think I cashed one of my lineups. Didn't cash the big prize, but again, DraftKings, the leader in one day fantasy sports. They're offering you a shot at millions of dollars every day this week. It's pretty easy. If you play the fantasy basketball, pick eight guys, stay under the salary cap. We're going to be doing the golf, which is six players, of course, similar idea. But really, basketball's back, golf's back, and then you have the daily MLB action all over at DraftKings.com. And again, reminder, they tee off super early, West Coast time. So get those lineups in late Wednesday. If you're on the West Coast, I think pretty early tee times, or sorry, it's early. Early if you're on the East Coast, whatever it is, get those lineups in.
Time is a flat circle.
Millions of dollars up for grabs this week. No better place to get it than over at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code SGP to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day of this week, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's get to it. Should I start this? Yeah,
I think so. I mean, I think we've gotten a lot of feedback that all Sean does is copy Steve.
Yes, exactly. So we'll clarify. There's no way I'm copying Steve because I will be going first. You mentioned that maybe this course is playing like the US Open in 2019.
Yep.
You know who got second place in the US Open 2019? Brooks Koepka. He's my chalky big money player. But again, Brooks, they call him big money Brooks, whatever it is. It's a major. It's his time to shine. He's gonna be motivated to shove it in DeChambeau's face. 11,100. But for me, you gotta throw one of these big dogs in, and certainly Brooks Koepka is the one. And my bookie, if you look at some of their matchup props, I mean, Brooks Koepka plus 115 against John Rahm. Yes, sir. Brooks Koepka -140 against Dustin Johnson. Throw that in there as well. So all over Brooks. Steve, what are you doing with your first golfer?
All right. Well, my first guy is actually someone you just mentioned. He didn't have that great of a tournament at the WGC Memphis, but seems like he's a good fit for this golf course. He's kind of in a similar spot before he won the Memorial a couple of weeks ago. And that's John Rahm at $10,500. You know, he definitely scuffled through his first three rounds in Memphis, but he provided some signs of hope in the last round. He shot a final round 67, gained three strokes with his ball striking and doing so. The conditions of the Memorial are a little similar to what we're going to see this week. It was windy. The greens were firm. It had some deep penal rough. So he's definitely well equipped to handle that. The question always with him is he, you know, mature enough to win a major? I used to be a guy who tries to psychoanalyze him. I'm over that. Like, you know, he's clearly talented enough to win any golf course he plays. He's won all on golf courses all over the world, whether it's links courses or tight, like narrow tree line golf courses or Bombers Paradise, like Torrey Pines, which is actually a similar golf course to what we might see this week. I just don't care if he's, you know, so-called immature, because the guy's talented. And I think we all can agree he's going to eventually win a major. So I don't love that he has a Thursday afternoon tee time. I made reference to this earlier. Guys going off in the morning on Thursday are going to have, even though it's colder, the winds are only going to be about maybe 5 to 10 miles per hour. In the afternoon, they're going to kick up to 15 to 25. So I don't love that he has that Thursday afternoon tee time, but this is a lineup for all four rounds. And I like his form and I like his fit for the golf course.
Kramer.
Form is important, and we saw this guy bounce back last week. I'm taking a zig strategy to your guy's zag. I did not spend five fingers on a single golfer, although I love Brooks Koepka, and I would absolutely probably, let's just say I was going with a multi lineup approach this week, I would have Brooks. I would have my man Xander, king of the millennial names. But and maybe even some Webb Simpson, but I'm starting my lineup out with a guy Steve mentioned earlier, and that's Cantlay. And I got excited when he noted him earlier. I thought, what better golfer to drop into the captain seat of my lineup? I wouldn't say this is the guy you're looking to captain your drip squad. The aforementioned Ricky Fowler,
not a lot of drip,
not available this week because I'm trying to have a rational lineup, but dude makes the cut. And I what you're going to see here is a fairly high floor lineup of guys that are going to make cuts. Maybe my ceiling is limited, Sean, but of course, you know, getting six guys to the weekend, that's the key. Patrick Cantlay, 9,400.
All right. Kramer.
Oh, I'm Kramer.
Yes. There's a guy that Steve mentioned earlier, Colin Morikawa.
Oh, here we go.
And he made my lineup, and he's only $8,600. I think he's a good guy to throw in here, coming off a decent run, been playing pretty well. And my brother Chuck
texted me.
He's been really getting into golf.
Is he a golf betting expert as well?
He's turning into one. And he was pointing out that Colin went to Stanford and played this course a bunch of time. Hashtag course knowledge. So throw me a little taste of Colin Morikawa at 8,600.
I like that,
Steve. That's an expert play if I ever heard one. I'm right.
Yeah, I mean, I love Morikawa. You know, he's probably the best iron player on tour right now. You know, the only things that you might be concerned about is he's not a good scrambler, and if the greens are firm, you know, that's going to negatively impact him. But he hits so many greens that he doesn't scramble a whole lot. The one thing you mentioned about playing at home, sometimes it actually has a negative effect on guys, you know. And one of the things I like to point to is Xander Schauffele when he goes down to Torrey Pines. Everybody thinks, oh, he's from San Diego, and he usually bombs out of the tournament. So be careful using that rationale sometimes.
All right, I love
when you do that to Sean. It makes you so happy.
Who's your second guy here?
Well, my second guy is someone that Kramer stole my thunder from, and that is Patrick Cantlay, $9,400. Yes! So like John Rahm, he struggled out of the gates at Memphis. I think he was almost dead last after the first round. But on Saturday and Sunday, he was -8 through the weekend. So, and he gained just under four strokes with his ball striking Saturday and Sunday. So he is peaking at a good time. He's a guy I really liked last week, and he kind of let me down. Well, he did let me down. I kind of whistle past the graveyard about you know, that he hasn't had a lot of success on Bermuda grass golf courses. I'm not generally someone who thinks trying to target grass specialists is really all that important. I think it's a little overblown, but it was a little, it was a red flag I probably should have listened to last week. But if you are someone who kind of looks at those stats and thinks it's gospel, he is a lot better on bent grass surfaces. He putts a little better on them. So he definitely could have a nice rebound. And I actually like him maybe to, you know, I think he's what, 25-1 to win tournament. You know, maybe this is his week.
Kramer, third golfer. What do you got for us?
Second golfer, Sean.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm going, I would assume this guy is of some sort of Irish descent. He has very light, maybe even red hair. I don't know, but I'm going with the form. And again, 11 of 13 cuts made, but he's absolutely tearing up the tour right now. And that's Daniel. Is it Berger or Berger?
Berger.
That's my guy. Shout out to Golf World for helping me prep for this episode. No, I basically, if you do any sort of like research on the tournament this weekend for draft, for any sort of DFS action, this guy pops up as maybe the fittest of all golfers. So don't have a lot of reasons other than he fit the $8,800 beautifully into the second spot. And I think he's again, high floor opportunity here, opportunity to definitely have four rounds of this guy.
All right, my third golfer. I'm going Gary Woodland, and of course you remember he won the 2019 US Open. So again, Steve said this could be playing like last year's US Open, and not a bad roll of the dice here to get a little action on Gary Woodland. Solid ball striking numbers this year as well, and a price point, a very reasonable price point, $7,900. Give me Gary Woodland here. And I think he's been playing pretty solid, not a great round at the WGC FedEx, but overall he's been pretty solid. 13 out of 15 cuts made. Gary Woodland feels pretty good. And he's got that early tee time on Thursday, 8:11 AM. Steve, what are you doing? What are you doing with your third golfer?
All right. My third guy is someone who's probably a little unfairly taking a little crap from the media, including me on the Slack channel. I've kind of beat him up a little bit. That's Tony Finau at $7,900. It's a really low price for what he usually is. Now, I think some of the criticism about how the guy constantly puts himself near top of the leaderboard, but he can't win. And that's actually, I think, kind of kept his buzz a little bit lower this week. I've actually seen his futures price drop through the week. I think it was start off 40-1. I've seen it now around 50-1. But you know, just because he's not winning golf tournaments, it doesn't mean it can't help your lineup. And it doesn't mean he's not playing golf capable of winning. It's just he's showing that it's really hard to win on PGA Tour. You know, and the more times he puts himself in good positions in the leaderboard, chances are it's eventually going to happen. So, you know, overall, TPC Harding Parks is a great fit for him. He's a long hitter. He's been hitting his irons well. His scrambling putting has been pretty good this year. And if you're, you know, one of those guys who really loves to look at your grass performance, he's a bent grass specialist. So yeah, I kind of like him this week, and I don't think he's going to be as popular as what he usually is. I mean, considering all the criticism he's taken, and there's some other guys around that price point that I think might draw a little more ownership.
I too am a grass expert, Steve. So I'm glad to hear you say that about my man, Tony.
What are you doing for your next golfer here, Ryan?
Well, I mean, I feel like we've somehow gone out of order, or I'm not paying attention. I also have Tony Finau. My note next to his name was why is he under $8,000? Because I was literally scrolling through. I did something different this week, Sean. I built my lineup from the bottom up.
Oh, you went small to big.
Yeah, you guys were talking about thick earlier, and it made me think of my lineup construction, bottom to top. And no, I when I got to Tony Finau, I've now gone completely out of order, but I'll throw him out as my third guy at 7,900. I figured, why not? I had no idea he was a grass specialist like myself. So this makes me even happier. What was the kind of grass, Steve? Bet? Did you say bed?
Bent grass.
Yes.
BENT.
Oh, that, oh no. We are the same grass specialists. Who know? Sean, you're up.
Tommy Fleetwood, $7,700. What I like about Tommy is he didn't have an amazing round, or amazing four rounds, but his the last time this guy stepped on a golf course before this PGA Championship in meaningful competition, he shot a 65.
Sean,
six final round birdies allowed him to rise 18 spots.
I'm a little concerned that I've unlocked your lineup formula this year, this week.
And what is that?
I think it's hair envy.
Tommy Fleetwood does have amazing hair. He reminds me of a Billy Bahate, our soccer guy. His profile. He's an English guy with the long shoulder length hair. Kind of got the dirty Jesus look going. But yeah, 7,700 bucks for Tommy Fleetwood. Again, coming off a red hot round. I like that to continue here early, especially in the PGA Championship. Steve, what are you doing next?
All right. Well, I also went Tommy Fleetwood at $7,700, but I'm going to expand a little bit because I don't think you're doing justice
with actual points.
I don't think you're giving justice about how bad it's actually been for him. So it's been rocky, and that's why his price point is down right here. I mean, he was late coming over after PGA Tour return. He didn't play until the 3M Open. He missed the cut there. Really was bad first three rounds in Memphis. So where is he struggling? I mean, it's a small sample size, but usually he's known as a pretty accurate driver off the tee, and he's just not doing. He's missing a lot of fairways. He's put himself in a lot of trouble off the tee. It's a little more forgiving. It's more forgiving off the tee than it was last week in Memphis. There's not as many like water hazards. And like you just mentioned, his last round, he actually did show something. Like you mentioned, he had the 65. He actually hit 78% of his fairways in the final round. So that gives maybe a little bit of comfort. Maybe his form off the tee is coming around. He gained 2.6 shots tee to green that final round. And just looking at the weather forecast and how it's kind of shaping up, feels a lot like a European tour style, like of weather, you know, cold, damp, you know, and the one bright spot through all his struggles are his irons and scrambling has been pretty good. And that's going to be pretty important if the golf course does play firm. So the only negative here is he does have a Thursday afternoon tee time. If you're a little scared off by his recent form, you don't like the fact that he's going off in the afternoon, you can always go to Abraham Answer at $7,700 as well. He's a guy who's playing really well. I think he's gained something like a 1.5 strokes per round, on the field over his last 16 rounds. He's probably going to be a little more popular than Fleetwood, just because, again, there's some other guys around, and Answer included, that's going to be a lot more popular than Fleetwood just because they've been better. But I have a funny feeling Fleetwood's going to show better this week.
Sean?
Well, now I feel much better about my Fleetwood
pick.
Great
pick, Sean. Exactly. Absolutely stellar pick. I wanted to end. So my team's actually constructed of two types of people, and this is the last of the first type of people. I dare you. And I don't know much about these guys, so I'm definitely making unfounded derogatory statements about them without actually having a conversation with them. But I dare you to click on the DraftKings photos of Patrick Cantlay, Berger, Finau, and my last guy in this category, Chez, is it Reavy?
You got it, Chez Reavy.
Nailed it. I dare you to click at those pictures and tell me which one of them hasn't spent time inside of a locker. Because they all look like they've had some issues with bullies in their life, their career, maybe at school. So rounding out the locker dweller portion of my DraftKings lineup this year to celebrate the PGA Championship, I'm going to go with a guy who is plus 0.87 strokes per round on approach over his last 16 rounds, Sean. A very specific thing I just cited right there, because that's important. And just so you know, that would mean if he kept that up for the entire season, he would be fourth best on tour. He's in my lineup because that's, I think Steve was talking about how that might be an interestingly useful metric to look at this tournament. And he was 7,400, didn't have a lot of options, didn't have a lot of good options. So again, four guys who have spent some time in some lockers, Haven't spent over 10
team
grand.
Locker.
Team Locker. Well, Team Locker is about to be balanced out in a real way with some drip. So stay tuned for my last two guys.
I actually also have Chez Reavy in my lineup here.
Do you like that stat? Did you have that written down, Sean?
No, I do have this stat that six of the past seven winners of the PGA Championship finished top 15 or better. And Chez is one of them, coming off a sixth place finish. So what more do you need? Accurate driver. Again, you throw out a bunch of great stats there, but
really just one.
Chez
Really looks like Chris Pontius too. If you take off the long hair of Chris Pontius, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting looking dude, giant forehead, which again, Ryan, as you point out, big, plenty of room for a giant brain in there. Normally I don't like to bet on guys who don't have real first names, a la Kyler Murray, but Chez definitely falls in the not a real first name category.
Make sure you get Chez in the lineup with Xander. For
that
sure.
That being said, $7,400 feels like a high floor, high ceiling.
Yeah, there you go.
Possibly low floor. We'll see what the Chez man
he's
does.
He's been pretty safe, I'd say. I'd say he has a high floor and a particularly high ceiling.
Well, that's a good combination. Steve, what are you doing for your next guy?
All right, my next guy is someone I haven't really heard a whole lot of buzz about, but there is a lot to like just as far as his form. That's Harris English at $7,200. A lot of guys, you know, consider him mostly a Bermuda grass specialist, but he's been great all year long on pretty much any golf course you throw at him. His long-term and short-term trends are really good. He's gained about a shot and a half per round on the field this season on the PGA Tour, and that actually matches his last four tournaments. He gained about a shot and a half per round on the field. So it's always good to see a guy matching his short-term form with his long-term form. You know, it shows he's really consistent. He's, you know, pretty efficient tee to green. He's a good scrambler. He's a really improved putter as well. He hits it long and straight off the tee. That's a good mix this week of having good length and accuracy. And he benefits from having early Thursday tee time. So he could get off to a pretty nice start.
He's a guy I was evaluating for a spot on the locker dweller list, also in very good form. So, Sean, my fifth guy.
Yeah.
I have to balance out all this alleged nerd with some proper drip. So what better or where else to look, I should say, than the great country of Australia, just the originators of drip. Jason Day, he's back. I know Steve's going to shit all over this one and his fragile ass back, but he's in good form.
Yeah. You say back and you're throwing back in a guy who has back issues, but in cold weather,
but just he's also got filthy amounts of drip. So 8,400 Jason Day. I needed to balance out the nerd.
All right. I like it.
And he's playing well. I mean, Steve, tell me I'm wrong. Please.
I'm gonna save my commentary for the end when we do picks and props. Okay.
Ooh, I like that. That's either a good thing or a bad thing for me.
I have a take.
Sean, you're up.
All right. I went with a gentleman from Sweden. His name is Henrik Stenson.
Oh.
He's only $7,300. Pretty reliable guy. A guy that I think
just safe. Like the Swedes.
Yeah,
right.
You know IKEA. What you're getting. You know what you're getting with Swedes. It's very just predictable. I think is the best thing you can say about the Swedes. Awesome meatballs. Infuriating engineering. But and they got Spotify. So check us out on Spotify. The one good thing the Swedes did. No, I'm cool with Swede. He's a very steady guy. Top 10 in the previous five PGA championships. So whatever it is about coming over, playing in America in the PGA championship, that just seems to be a good match for him. Granted, they rotate the courses, but whatever it is, that seems to be a good thing for my man, Henrik Stenson. And again, he's got a top 20 at the World Golf Championships this year. So
at one point he was a guy they were talking about who could be the guy.
He was constantly in the mix for possibly being the guy, but he hasn't quite gotten there. Doesn't have the major win, but I think this year he's going to be in the mix.
A Swedish Webb Simpson.
There you go. Steve, who's your final golfer in your DraftKings lineup?
All right. My final guy is someone who, again, I haven't really heard a whole lot of buzz about him, but he's played well since the PGA Tour return. He's got a lot of good attributes I like. That's Kevin Streelman at $7,100. Since the PGA Tour return, he's gained about 1.4 strokes per round. Actually, not since the return. Over his last four tournaments, I'm sorry, he's gained 1.4 strokes per round over the field. He's not really known as a great scrambler putter, but he's actually doing both pretty well right now. He's gained about half a stroke on the field in both areas combined over his last four tournaments. He's not the longest guy out there, but he hits a pretty straight, good iron player. And he's shown really good upside this year. He finished second at the AT&T Pebble Beach. He was second at the Travelers a couple of weeks ago. I think when you put him on, he's pretty good on bent grass. And I think there's a lot to like about him this week. So he'll be my last guy.
I love getting bent on grass. Adam Scott, 7,800. You know, shit writes itself, Sean. 7,800. Went back to the great country of Australia. I know you're going to tell me he hasn't played. What kind of form could he possibly be in? But he shows up. He's got a little of that that Brooks in him. Adam Scott has forever showed up in big events. So I expect him to show up. He was only 7,800. He has drip, and let's close this bad boy out, Sean.
Kramer, before we give out our bets for what we like here, who we have as the winners, maybe some matchups, some long shots, maybe a couple props in there. Before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to Ace Per Head. You could, instead of just betting on the PGA Championship, you could be starting your own sports book and taking bets. All you got to do is go to aceperhead.com/SGP. Aceperhead.com/SGP. Use that sign up link, get up to 6 weeks free. Are you kidding me? They got great, great customer service there, great setup. You don't need to know how to run a professional betting website. You just turn it on. They get you set up. They do all the wager grading. They update the lines. They take care of you over at Ace Per Head. And again, if you use our link, aceperhead.com/SGP, get up to 6 weeks free. All right. Now we've come to the final portion of the program. I'm going to give out some bets, some props, some picks. I'll kick things off. Again, I like my boy Colin Morikawa, 35-1 over at mybookie.ag. I had already thrown out the couple Brooks matchup props. I like those as well. Give me a little taste of Tommy Fleetwood at 45-1 as well. And then for my kind of golf crazy prop bet, give me to win the to be the first round leader, Phil Mickelson at 100-1. And again, that's something I kind of picked up in the Slack channel. I would recommend joining our Slack channel, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Slack. Steve just goes off, drops tons of golf knowledge, stuff that doesn't even make it into his columns. But I think one of the other Slack users was maybe mentioned Phil Mickelson, and Steve had a great point of how Phil has been known to kind of get off to some good starts and age, and you know, kind of gets him when the weekend comes around, but starting off hot on a Thursday. So those are my plays. Phil Mickelson, 100-1.
Can I give you a matchup?
Sure.
Like real quick, because I would actually go. This is maybe the lock of the century. Well, because I knew when I brought up Ricky Fowler earlier, Steve was going to make fun of me. I preemptively found a prop where we got to fade
ooh
Ricky Fowler this weekend. And
and while you're looking that up, Ryan, my lock, and I will make it my official lock, is Brooks Koepka. It's about even money to make a top 20.
Daniel Berger -125 versus Ricky Fowler.
Ooh. Okay.
So I'm fading my heart there.
There you go.
Fading my heart.
All right. What else do you got, Kramer?
Let me pull up these bad boys. Odds to win. We discussed it earlier. It would be a shame if Brooks won another major. I didn't sprinkle a little bit on it. So I'll put a quarter. Let's just call it a third of a unit on Brooks Koepka. Cause why not? And then I'm going to just follow the lineup, right? Tony Finau, 45-1. I'm going to sprinkle another third of my unit on that. And Sean, by the way, you owe me a bunch of units, and perhaps I'm betting your units on these matchups. And if I really wanted to dig down the board, I'm going to go with my man because we liked his name, because we can make him an honorary member of the drip squad, Chez Reavy, 100-1. And then Sean, the other one that I was going to throw out is I don't know if you you'd like to dabble in the little three ball matchup or the heads up matchup, but coming back to a guy that we called out, 72 hole match betting. Tony Finau is -120 against Jordan Spieth, a guy that we earlier highlighted how he's a complete mental dipshit and a Cowboys fan. So Tony
double
Finau,
trouble.
Tony Finau -120 feels right.
Like it. Lot of good stuff in there. Steve, close it out strong. What are you doing? Lock winners, matchups, couple long shots. Where should the people stack their cash?
All right. Well, I'll give out a few here. If you want to see all my winners picks, you know, I throw out basically a variety of things of guys who I really like this week. I think that's up on the website right now. I'll have a matchups column up too. I think I'll have like five or six matchups of ones I like there, and I'll have a props column too. So definitely go check that out after this podcast, but I'll give you some of the ones that I really like. You know, that really piqued my interest here. So we'll start with a matchup prop. So there's a matchup. It's Rory McIlroy against Dustin Johnson. And Dustin is +160 against Rory. Whoa. And looking at their recent form, I don't really understand how that line is being set right now. You know, if you look at their last four tournaments, Rory's only is less than a stroke better the entire tournament than DJ has over the last four tournaments. And Rory's really struggling right now. And where he's struggling is with his irons. Over his last, since the PGA Tour returned, he's only gained 0.1 strokes on the field with his irons. And that just isn't going to cut it. And that's actually a full shot worse with his approach shots than before the PGA Tour went on the hiatus. And that's usually a really big red flag with Rory that just things aren't going right with him. So I like the value of taking Justin Johnson as an underdog. And then carrying on with that, I actually kind of like Dustin Johnson this week, not to win, but I think he's going to have a top 10. I think you can get that around +200. He played really well in Memphis last week. He had good ball striking. He was struggling a little bit on the greens, but he got that together. He won the Travelers a couple of weeks ago. He tends to play pretty good out in California on those grasses and the thick air. He has the length in order to, you know, kind of overpower TPC Harding Park, and I think he's going to play well.
Cox.
Sorry, when you said length, I just had to throw that drop in there, Steve.
No problem. Now it's time to talk Jason Day.
Ooh.
So I noticed, like you did, Kramer, that he was playing pretty well. And usually Jason Day is completely off my radar because he's a garbage ball striker who just gets by on his putting. So much to my surprise, when I looked at how he was basically getting his three straight top tens, his ball striking is actually really good. And he's not doing it with a putter. It's actually the inverse. And he's actually kind of back to where he was back in 15-16, where, you know, he's pretty good off the tee, really good with his irons. And then if he can get the putter going, he can get some good finishes. So what's changed with him? Well, he actually just got rid of his swing coach and caddy, which was a big deal because that's actually, I think he's been with him for about 20 years. That's his mentor, but he's taken ownership in his swing. So, and you also look at him, he's a great scrambler. That's going to be a good fit for TPC Harding Park. He's another guy who plays well in California. I like him a lot this week. Now, my one concern, which is what you mentioned, and it's the same concern I share with our old friend, Mr. Eldrick Woods, is how's that back end to hold up in the cold air? So you can get him in as a top 20 prop at +200 as well.
Oh, my God. All right. Yes, please.
I'm a little concerned just because, you know, he is going off on Thursday morning. Does he get off to a little bit of a slow start? But I think at the end of the day, I mean, his numbers look great. He's gaining over his last four tournaments. He's gaining just under a stroke off the tee with his approach shots. He's gaining 1.2 around and on the greens. He looks great. So, I mean, I feel sick to my stomach saying, yeah, bet Jason Day, but I'm going to do it. And then the last thing, I mentioned a lot of guys already that I like to win the tournament. Two guys that I haven't personally talked about in this podcast that deserves some mention is Xander Schauffele and Daniel Berger. Now, I talked about in the winners column this week, both those guys are second and third in total strokes gained since the PGA Tour return, and both of them are just killing it in every category. And Berger even has gained over a stroke per round, both with his ball striking and around and on the greens. He's just been on fire. Here's the problem with both, and depending on how you like to bet, it might not be for you. They're really popular this week. I've seen their names bantered around a lot of the so-called expert picks this week. I've seen their prices rise through the week. I think Xander started off around 25 to 1. He's down to 20 to 1 on my bookie. I've seen his price even below that. Daniel Berger, I got in earlier this week at 50 to 1. He's down to 40. And I think those two guys might end up being the most chalky plays in DFS this week. So they're super popular. If you've already laid your money on both and looking for reassurance, I'm going to give it to you. My spreadsheets don't lie, and I'm a slave to stats at the end of the day. But if you're someone who maybe is a little contrarian, doesn't like to follow the crowd, that one might not be for you. And then for a long shot winner, I'm with you, Kramer. I like Ches Reavie 100 to 1. I mean, there's a lot of great things about him. You would think of a narrow golf course is going to play a little longer than the scorecard indicates. We would price him out. He actually played great last year at Bethpage Black, so he can definitely hang with the big boys. So that'll be my long shot winner at 100 to 1.
Sean, one more fun way to play Jason Day. If you are worried about that back breaking down, first round leader, 50 to 1.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So you can get through one round and maybe not be able to make it last for the entire event.
We need to get him a wobble board.
Yeah,
I'm cured.
That's what Kramer did. He just stands on this like balance board entire day,
10 to 12 hours a day standing.
Amazing core strength. In case you haven't heard, well, awesome times as always, Steve. Wait, thanks for calling.
Not yet, because we're now it's August. We need to check in.
You're right.
Hashtag all rise, Joe Judge supporters. Give me a giant early August Giants record prediction, Steve.
Well, the last time I came on, it was 7-9, right?
Yes.
So here's the thing. I think any record is in play just because we've seen what's happening in baseball right now, where in any given week, you see a team lose half their starters, right? So what's to say the Giants just doesn't get incredibly lucky and catches every single team when all their quarterbacks are out, or they just get really unlucky and just COVID ends their season. I mean, in real talk, if we get 16 games with the NFL, I think that's going to be a pretty good win. I mean, anything we get with the NFL this season is going to be good. Honestly, I think I'm still about it, assuming everything is normal. I'm still around 7-9. I do like the fact they got rid of Nate Solder. Well, not got rid. He opted. He opted himself.
It was great seeing Steve react to the news in our Slack. Like, awesome. Love getting rid of Solder there.
Yeah, we got rid of the cap hit there, and we're going to put the rookie in.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed, honestly.
What's funny about this whole thing is they can use the money that they get back from him this year to pay him next year.
Yeah, because they can roll over his cap space to next year's cap.
He's so like weird. Taken one for the team and completely fixed this horrible problem.
Is there any way they can get Jadeveon Clowney with the cap room that's left over?
They can,
because they desperately need the pass rush. That would definitely make me a little happier and more optimistic.
So here's what I'm hearing. I'm going to recap. I think that Steve may have just joined. I know he didn't say this, but I can see the way his mind is trending. He's just joined the great Walter Football, NBA expert Zach Bronner, and myself on the podium of the Giants will win the NFC East next year. Sounds good. Now we can end the show, Sean.
All rise.
All right. Oh wow, I'm gonna pull that clip.
Although, don't expect that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you guys 5-11 would be generous.
Wow.
Steve, you're always very generous with your time, with all the time you put into the great articles from updated Google Map photos of the course. He does it all. Hang out with Steve, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Slack. If you're a guy watching all 4 days of a major, like I know a lot of our listeners are, open up the Slack, get some commentary from Steve. I'm sure he'll throw in some bets there as well as things change, go along. And make sure you head over to mybookie.ag, use that promo code SGP, 100% deposit bonus. It just doesn't get better than that. Check out our new feeds, the Soccer Gambling Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and the NBA Gambling Podcast, available everywhere as well.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
And for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Good luck to you. Good luck to Steve, and especially good luck to me.
Kramer, let it ride.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.